This is Integrity Selling Session 4, How to Demonstrate What You're Selling. You'll get some great ideas from this session that will help you make stronger impacts on people. You'll increase the effectiveness of your presentations and learn to sell end-result benefits rather than product or service features. And now, Ron Willingham.
The purpose of a sales demonstration is to show people how your product or service will satisfy their wants or needs. Obviously, the type of demonstrations you make will vary widely with what you're selling. You may demonstrate with actual products, pictures, statistics, printouts, or many other methods. And when you do, remember this simple definition, and you can fit it into whatever you're selling. The definition is this: an effective demonstration is when you and your customers do something together that helps them understand how you can fill their needs, satisfy their wants, or solve their problems. Most salespeople think that they should only show or tell about their products or services. They're product-focused rather than customer needs-focused. One very common mistake that salespeople make is to begin demonstrating before they successfully complete the interview step. This generally shows that they're more product-focused rather than being customer needs-focused. They try to demonstrate before they identify and get agreement on needs, as well as a stated desire for a solution. Here are the four action guides for the demonstration step. 1. Repeat the dominant wants or needs that have been admitted. 2. Show or tell how your product or service will fill the wants or needs. 3. Avoid talking about price. Make it secondary to finding out what best fills their needs. And 4. Ask for their reactions, feelings, or opinions. In the interview step, people verbalized their needs or wants. They clarified their own thinking and gave you information about their buying motives. You assessed what their dominant needs were. Then once you understand their dominant wants or needs, you're ready to go to the demonstration step. The first thing you do in the demonstration step is to repeat or summarize their dominant wants or needs. Always remember that they'll want the product or service for two reasons. First, for what it will do for them, and second, for how it will make them look to other people. And then the second step is to go into the actual demonstration to show how your product or service will answer their wants or needs. Allow me to say that if you can't really help people fill their wants or needs, or if your product or service isn't the best solution for them, you really can't demonstrate with integrity. When you do believe you have the best solution for people, you'll have much stronger persuasive power. Conviction about the value of your product or service is extremely important in today's markets. Now, here are some ideas and suggestions for helping your demonstrations be more effective. First of all, get people involved. I never mentioned this, that I don't think of an experience I had in the early 1960s. I was in the furniture business at the time, and I had won a trip to the Scandinavian countries. At the time, I had seen very few Mercedes and had never really ridden in one. But over there, they were everywhere, and I loved them, and I caught the bug for one. So when I got home, I went to a local dealer to look at them. They only had one in stock, wasn't a big dealership. A salesperson approached me, and I asked if I could ride in it. He said, okay, and had me sit on the passenger side while he gave me a demonstration ride. Well, it didn't take long to see that this guy should have been an engineer instead of a salesperson. He was fascinated with all the gadgets. He was also very self-centered and boring. When I tried to touch something, it was almost like he'd slap my hand and say, don't touch that. He was particularly thrilled with the feature that you could cram the gear selector into park while driving down the road and it wouldn't damage anything. He demonstrated this to me several times in only a matter of minutes, obviously getting his kicks doing it. He also explained how many cubic liters of displacement the engine had. And I still don't know what a cubic liter of displacement is, or do I care? He told me about other boring features that I wasn't at all interested in. He didn't offer to let me drive the car, and this gave me the feeling that he couldn't trust such a fine machine to a dummy like me. Well, to say the least, it irritated me because he was having all the fun, and all I was doing was sitting there watching. And guess what? I didn't buy the car, at least not from him. But I did go back the next day when another person was on duty. This person let me drive the car, let me have all the fun fiddling with all the gadgets, cramming the gear selector in park and all that stuff. He put me in the driver's seat. And when he did, I bought. My point is that an effective demonstration is something both you and your customers or clients do together. Together. This is a very simple rule to follow, but notice how many times it's violated by supposedly well-trained salespeople. So, always get people involved in your demonstrations. Let them have the fun with you. In demonstrating, it's very important to appeal to both the logic and the emotions of people. As you do this, try to determine which will guide them the most in a buying decision. The first Mercedes salesperson really missed me because he sold with logic, but I wanted to buy with emotion. I really didn't care about the engineering data or how thick the door panels were. I wanted the car because it was different. I thought it was classy. And as I said, this was in the early 1960s and no one I knew had one. I could take corners and curves fast in it. It would easily float over dips and bumps. And of course, having it gave me that incredibly important confidence and assurance that all car buyers want. That when I was driving 40 miles an hour down the street, I could cram the gear selector into park and it wouldn't damage anything. Well, my point is, watch and feel with your prospects. Appeal to both their logic and emotions. Always give them logical reasons for buying, but at the same time realize that while they'll act like logical reasons are important, often they'll buy more from emotion. Here are some suggestions for appealing to people's emotions as you demonstrate. First of all, get them feeling, get them tasting, get them looking, get them experiencing. Ask them for feedback as you demonstrate. Ask them how they feel about it, how they like it, how it looks to them. Use vivid word pictures that help them visualize themselves enjoying the benefits of your product or service. Specifically, appeal to people's wants or needs. Now, another important suggestion for demonstrating is to be sensitive to where people want you to sit or stand. What do I mean by that? Let's think about that for just a moment. People may be very sensitive about you invading their space. They may not want you to get too close to them or to become too familiar with them. So be very careful. Studies have shown that men usually want to keep other men just over an arm's length away. A woman can get closer if she's selling a woman. A man can move in slightly when selling a woman. Also, studies show that right-handed buyers want salespeople positioned to their left of center. The demonstration, if it involves something that both you and someone can hold, look at, or do together, helps you get closer to people than you might otherwise be able to do. Often you can use the demonstration to diminish their fear and heighten the rapport that you're developing, especially when they feel your sincere interest in helping them seek an answer to their needs. As you're demonstrating, put your eyes at a point where you want people to put their eyes. Remember to move at their speed. Adjust your demonstration to the speed they want to travel. March to their cadence. This helps develop a stronger bonding and rapport. If you're selling a committee, a board, or a group, get the strongest decision maker helping you. Have him or her hold charts for you, flip slides, write on a chalkboard, or do other active things to help you. Position yourself so that he or she is with you as you make your demonstration. All these things get people involved. This also gets them on your side psychologically. Remember also that action, color, and drama will all add impact to your demonstration. It's always a good use of time to brainstorm ways you can incorporate more of these in your presentations. Another suggestion about your demonstration is to move people out of their normal environment. If you have to sell in a person's normal environment, that is in their home or office, get them if possible into the friendliest part. More sales take place in the kitchen than anywhere else in the home because it's a warm, friendly place. A kitchen table is an excellent demonstrating place. Lots of business sales are made in a coffee shop or over lunch or on a golf course. Getting people out of their office and into your showroom or display area is a very effective device to get their attention. When you can, include both the user and decision maker in your demonstration. If you sell by telephone, make your own office or environment as comfortable and friendly as possible. Stand up as you talk. Have a full-length mirror to look into. In situations like this, if you can't control your customer's environment, you can control your own. And then the third action guide for an effective demonstration is this. avoid talking about price. Make it secondary to finding out what best fills their needs. I'll never forget this advice about dealing with price that an old pro gave me many years ago when I first went into the retail furniture business. His advice was, it doesn't make any difference how much a piece of furniture costs if the customer doesn't want it. He went on to add, but if it is what the customer wants, then it's almost always worth money. Well, that's pretty good logic, isn't it? One of the first things that people often ask is, how much does it cost? You have to deal with this in the demonstration step. Salespeople who fall into the trap of answering premature price questions, though, quickly lose control. A good way to handle premature price questions is to say, I understand your concern for the price. I know it's very important to you. But before we even think about the price, let's first make sure we found the best thing to fill your needs. Then you'll want to use this question to get more information. Ask, but while we're thinking about the price, what general price range do we need to stay in? In your interview step, you need to find out what general budget or price range they're thinking about. Until you know this, you haven't finished your interview. And then the fourth action guide is, ask for their reactions, feelings, and opinions. Ask demonstration response questions. Questions like, what do you think of this? How do you feel about this? How important is this feature to you? What features appeal most to you? As you ask these questions, listen to what their words say. Listen to what their expressions say when they answer you. Listen to what their body language tells you. And listen to what their reactions say. As you do your presentation or demonstration, you want to apply what you're learning about behavior styles. Remember that doers will not want a lot of details. They'll mainly want to know what the bottom line will be, what you're going to make happen for them. Talkers will want to know how people will be influenced, or how buying this will make them look good to others. Plotters will want lots of details about the features of your product or service. They'll want to know what could go wrong. They'll want assurance from you and for you to remove the risk for them. Controllers will be more interested in the functional aspects of what you're selling, how it works to get results. They want to know how it'll create greater efficiency and fit in with their plans. Well, by practicing the suggestions in this message, you'll increase the effectiveness of your demonstrations, whether you're selling ideas, products, or services, and you'll learn more about the psychology of persuasion.